Chapter 6. Terror at Night. I waited and waited as days passed. Nothing further happened, so both my terrifying memories and my anxiety about the future became less sharp. I was always with those extraordinary and beautiful children, and I wondered if they guessed that I thought strange things about them. There were moments when I could not stop myself from hugging them tightly. As soon as I had done so, I used to wonder, what will they think of that? Or, did that show my anxiety? But the children remained calm, and what I remember most about that time is that it was peaceful. In fact, the children loved me very much at this time. They seemed to want to do things right for their poor governess. They not only completed their lessons better, but they wanted me to join in with their games. They told me stories, they acted little plays for me, and they wore clothes to look like people from history. They surprised me by jumping out at me pretending to be animals. They even used to learn long poems, which they spoke aloud to me. I became aware that Miles was really too clever to be helped by a simple governess like me. But I was also aware that I was not thinking about arranging a new school for him to go to in the autumn. We lived in a cloud of music and kindness and success. Miles could play the piano very well, and he made up music to go with the games. I noticed the amount of loving care he showed towards his little sister. I had had brothers myself, so I knew that it was normal for little sisters to follow their big brothers everywhere. But Miles's kindness towards his sister surprised me. Also, they did not argue with each other, and they seemed to understand each other without speaking. Sometimes I realized that one of them had asked for my help while the other one had disappeared somewhere. I wondered why, but I did not worry. Then, one day, everything changed. Reading by candlelight in my bedroom late one night, I became aware of movement in the house. It reminded me how I felt on the night I first arrived. I listened, feeling the breath of air coming in through the open window, and I could see the little white curtain that hung over the head of the bed where Flora slept peacefully. I put down my book, stood up, pushed my feet into my slippers, and put a shawl round my shoulders. Then I picked up a candle and went straight out of the room, locking the door behind me. If someone had seen me being so brave, he would have been proud of me. I walked along the corridor towards the stairs, holding the candle high. Then my candle suddenly went out, and by the light of the moon coming in through the high window at the top of the stairs, I saw Peter Quint. He was standing below me, where there was a turn in the stairs. He knew me as well as I knew him. And so, facing each other, one of us in the corridor above, the other on a stair below, we stood and stared in silence. But the most surprising thing was not that he was there, but that I had no fear. The terror of that meeting came to me later. At last, he seemed to disappear into the silence, turning his back, going down the stairs and fading away into the darkness. I stayed for a while at the top of the stairs, but realizing that my visitor had really gone, I returned to my room. The first thing I saw by the light of the candle I had left burning was that Flora's little bed was empty. It was at this time that I felt all the terror that I had not experienced on the stairs. I ran across the room, and as I ran, the curtains over the window moved, and Flora appeared from behind them. She stood there in her nightdress, with her pink bare feet and blonde hair, and looked at me very seriously, saying, "You are naughty. Where have you been?" Instead of asking her why she was out of bed, I found myself explaining that I had heard a noise in the corridor. Then she told me she had felt that I was not in the room. She had jumped up to see where I was. Full of joy because she was safe, I fell into my chair, and little Flora, still sleepy, climbed onto my knee. I remember holding her and seeing something very beautiful deep in her blue eyes. It made me close my eyes for a moment. "You were looking for me out of the window," I said. "You thought I was walking in the garden."
"Well, you know, I thought someone was," she said innocently.
I stared at her. "And did you see anyone?" I asked carefully.
"Oh, no,"
she said, speaking very slowly and smiling charmingly. At that moment, I did not doubt that she was lying. My arms held her tightly, but I did not tell her that I knew. I put her back into bed and sat by her, holding her hand. From that night on, I stayed up until it was very late. Then, having checked that Flora was asleep, I went out and walked around the corridors. I returned again and again to where I had seen Quint, but I never saw him in the house again. But one night, looking down from the top of the stairs, I saw the figure of a woman sitting on the lower steps with her back to me. Her shoulders were bent and her head was in her hands. It was clear to me that she was very sad. Only a moment after I had seen her, she faded away without looking round at me. But I knew who she was. It was Miss Jessel. On the 11th night, after I had seen Quint on the stairs, I counted the nights now, there was another terrible event. I woke up suddenly at 1 o'clock in the morning. I had left a candle burning, but it was now out, and I felt certain Flora had put it out. Quickly, I got up and went straight across the room in the darkness to her bed, which I found was empty. Lighting a match and looking immediately towards the window, I could see that she was behind the curtains again. I was sure she was staring out at the moonlit garden. I knew that she was face to face with the ghost we had seen by the lake. She did not move or make a sound as I lit the candle and quickly put my slippers on and a shawl around me. I wanted to leave the room without Flora knowing and look out of another window that had the same view of the garden. I left the room and listened at the door to see if Flora made any noise. But there was silence. Which room should I go to? I decided that the right room was one quite high up in the tower. When I got to the room, I went straight to the window and pressed my face against the glass. And there, outside, in the bright moonlight, was Miles. He was looking up, but not at me. He was looking at someone or something at the top of the tower. I felt sick as I realized what he was doing.